Not open your Bibles to 1 Peter, chapter number 1. First Peter chapter 1. Yeah, I mentioned it. The time changes Saturday night. Don't forget time change. Fall back. The way I'm off balance, I fall back all the time anyway. Yeah. We gained one this time. Yeah. Yeah. I like this one. If I ask you to, in just a couple words, tell me what you think of Peter. What kind of man is Peter? The other night we preached on being a man's man. You think Peter was a man's man? Peter was a rough old guy, wouldn't you agree? I mean, think about a couple of things. He's old fisherman. Now, fishermen was, they lived a rough life. They worked hard. They were coarse, I'm sure, in a lot of their ways. Remember when he went back to fishing. After Jesus died, he said he'd go back fishing. And Jesus appeared, and he had his shirt off and all that, and he grabbed his coat and put it and wrapped it back around him and so forth when he recognized the Lord was there. And remember when the Lord told him that they will all be offended because of him, and he told him, everybody else may be, but not me. And remember when the guys came for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He grabbed his sword and cut the guy's ear off. Peter was a rough old guy. And he was, the Lord called him a stone, a rock. And his name meant rock, Cephas, meant to, and Peter meant to pebble, rock. And he called him a stone. And so he was a rough guy. Now, Peter wrote to struggling, suffering saints. They were suffering from several different places, Galatia and so forth. He named several places there he's writing to. And they were going through a lot of trials, a lot of issues, a lot of them being persecuted. We don't have a clue what it's like to live as a Christian and live under the thumb of a government. And or at this time, even religious bodies that is hostile to us, that wants to kill us and persecute us. We don't know what that means. We've never lived in that kind of situation. But there are some pretty ruthless people. And a lot of the Christians were receiving stuff during that time. But Peter uses a word. Now, I want to read a couple of places in the Bible, and I want to come back. And I want to preach from verse 18 in chapter 1 on over to verse probably about 8 in chapter 2. But I want you to begin reading with me a couple places. And I want you to see if you can pick out a word. A rough word, a guy rough, coming from a fisherman history, background, and being what he is. See if you find a word that he finds that's kind of strange, him talking. Look if you would in verse chapter 1, verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, glory, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now skip on down, if you would, to verse number 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, or of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained for the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now notice chapter 2, beginning in verse number 4. Says, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should know, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look on over, if you would, in chapter 2, in verse number 1, chapter 1, I mean 2 Peter, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Look on down in verse 4. Whereby are ye given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Did you pick up on the word? Precious. You wouldn't think an old coarse fisherman would use the word precious. But did you notice how many times he uses the word precious? He talks about one thing, the trials. Our trials being precious. The reason why they're precious is God uses them to help mold us. He uses them to help develop us and to allow us to come to him. He is in charge of all trials. He allows everything to happen that's happening. And yes, some is brought on by our own doing, and some is brought on by other means. But every trial is precious. It has a purpose in which God intends it to go. The second thing is, he talks in, we saw, the precious blood of Jesus. Can you imagine? We are taught there that we are not saved by our works. We are not saved by creeds. We are not saved by our abilities and what we can do. But we're saved by his precious blood. We're brought nigh by his blood. We're justified by his blood. We're forgiven by his blood. We are redeemed by his blood. I mean his blood. We are reconciled by his blood. His blood is precious. Where will we be without the precious blood of Jesus? And not only that, but then he goes on in chapter 2 in verses 4 through 10. We read where he is a precious stone, a precious Savior. One that is a chief cornerstone. He calls him a living stone. One that has been raised from the dead. He calls him a chosen stone. One that was chosen from the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever formed, Jesus was already chosen to build upon our faith. Anyone who builds upon anything else other than Jesus will not stand. He is the foundation. There is no other foundation, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And so therefore, we must build upon Jesus. He is that cornerstone. He was chosen from the beginning. He is a precious stone. He finished the work in which God had him to do. He finished it without a glitch, without a blemish. He finished it perfectly. And he finished it just as the Father had asked him to do. He also, the Bible calls him here, a stumbling stone. The Jews who would not accept him as Messiah, he was a stumbling block before the Jews. They stumbled all over Jesus because He come as a servant. He come to minister. He come to die. And they were looking for someone to come and set up a kingdom. And so therefore they rejected Jesus. And so to the Jews, he's a stumbling block. He also calls him a cornerstone, chief cornerstone. He is what everything is built. Same way with the church. Peter said, he asked Peter one time, Peter, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of living God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are built, the church is built upon Jesus. And let me say this again to all you who may be persuaded by some Catholic doctrine. We are not built upon Peter. We're built upon what Peter said, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Then also, he is a smitten stone. He is the one that will come back, and Daniel said, he is the one that will come and smite the nations. He will come, and anyone who has rejected him, someday when they stand before him, he'll not be some meek Jesus hanging upon the cross, having people spit in his face and pull his beard and smack him and throw a crown of thorns on him. He will be the judge of the world. He will be the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. He'll cast those into hell that has rejected him. He will be the smiting stone when he comes back.
Amen.
Not only that, but he also talked about there in chapter 2 Peter chapter 1 that we have a precious faith. That precious faith is what secures our righteousness. We're not righteous before God because of our works. We're righteous before God because of our faith. That faith is what brought salvation to us. That precious faith is what brought grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. So therefore we have the grace because of that. Faith is also what brings our peace. We have the peace with God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, last but not least, he also tells them in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, in verse number 4, that we have great and precious promises. I mean, this was to a bunch of people who were suffering. And man, isn't it good to have the promises of God? Now, let's look back, if you would, in chapter 1 a moment, and let me share with you a couple thoughts real quickly. Why is Jesus so precious? Peter said he's precious. Our trials are precious. Our faith is precious. His blood is precious. The stone is precious. I mean, our promises are precious. Everything is precious about Jesus. What makes him so precious? Well, number one, he was precious to the Father. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I mean, he is obedient to the Father. He said, I and the Father am one. He loved the Father. The Father loved him. And Jesus, several times God spoke from heaven and let him know that this was his beloved Son.
Amen.
And so therefore, he was loved and he was precious to the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was his only begotten. You can understand the love of God by seeing the gift that he gave us, his precious Son. Jesus was precious to God. Do you think that it didn't bother God the Father to see God the Son hang upon the cross of Calvary? I mean, the angels was gathered around. They were wanting to come and just take him down off the cross. But do you think it didn't bother him to have to put him the sin of the whole world and turn his back upon him and let him bear the wrath of God for the sins of the world? Do you think it didn't bother God the Father? That's why the whole light went out into all the world from 12 to 3. Right in the middle of the day, everything turned dark. When Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? Because he was so precious to the Father. I tell you what, he's precious enough to the Father that he's given him a name above all names. And he's precious enough to the Father. Whenever you reject Jesus and his blood, the Father looks upon you as trodden the blood of Jesus underneath your feet. I'll use my will just spit in the face of God. Because he'll hold you accountable. He says, how shall you escape? There's no way of escaping. if you reject his precious gift.
Amen.
Isn't it good that God give us a gift?
Amen.
And the gift is us to receive? Oh, but you say, well, it's a gift. I don't have to take it. No, you don't. But woe unto you if you reject it. Because his gift of his son, he gave the most precious gift that could ever be given.
Amen.
And when you reject that, you're going to have to face the wrath of God one of these days. That's why the Bible says, he that hath the son hath life, he that hath not the son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And so you need to understand, you reject that gift, God's wrath is going to come upon you one of these days, and you'll be cast in the lake of fire. People, all these liberals running around saying, oh, God's God of love. He'll not cast us in the lake of fire. He sure will. And he will because of your rejection of his son. Amen? Not only that, but he's precious to the sinner. Think about this. Think of his love while we were yet sinners. How many of you can stand up and say, listen, boy, Jesus, he loved me because I was so lovable? Nope. When we got saved, we were saved as sinners. If you didn't get saved as sinners, you didn't get saved. Anyone who comes to him must come to him as a sinner. If you don't recognize the fact that you're a sinner, you can't be saved. If you think that God just saves you and just gives you that gift, you got to come and recognize the fact of your need of that gift. And the Holy Ghost of God was sent to let us understand and be convicted of our sin so that we would look to the cross of Calvary for our salvation. And therefore, that we looked at that gift. How precious is he to the sinner? Can you imagine where we would be without Jesus? Imagine having to face God without Jesus. Boy, I don't know about you, but as a sinner, he's precious to me. The sacrifice that he did for us. Every time I look upon the cross of Calvary, I see me. I should have been there. I should have been there instead of him. He didn't deserve nothing he got. A thief on the cross recognized that eventually. He said, he's done nothing. Lord, remember me when I come to thy kingdom. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
In other words, he wanted him to know that he recognized the fact who he was. Listen, you need to recognize the sacrifice that Jesus did for you.
Right.
He's precious. He's precious to all sinners that will come. Those that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. I've heard people preach messages that different races, God looks upon different races and salvation differently. I don't believe that to be true. I believe that whosoever comes to him can be saved. I've heard people preach about different statuses of people and different things like that. Listen, the ground of Calvary is level. Whosoever will come, he will in no wise cast out. You come to him, you can be saved. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, man or woman, bond or free. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, red, or yellow. It does not matter. Jesus is precious to all who's willing to come.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
And last, but he's precious to us as saints. Now think about this. He is our chief cornerstone. He's what we are built. Our faith is built upon him. If it wasn't for Jesus, we don't have no faith. Listen, sometimes when you're going through trials, and remember Peter was preaching to a bunch of people that was going through some severe trials. When you're going through trials, sometimes when you get down a little bit, you begin to doubt some things. You begin to wonder about your salvation. You begin to wonder about different things. But what you do is this, you get your eyes off him, you get your eyes on yourself. The wonderful thing about our salvation is, and the reason why Jesus is precious to those of the saints, I stand here before you unimpressed before God. He is unimpressed with me. He's not. I am not what I am because of me. I am what I am because of him. Jesus is the reason that I can be saved. Jesus is the reason I can preach. Jesus is the reason I can say I have eternal life. Jesus is the reason I can say I shall never perish. Only not because of me. If it's left up to me, tomorrow I would lose it. But thank God I'm kept by the power of God, and I am built upon Jesus.
Amen.
He is my chief cornerstone. So Jesus is precious to me.
Amen.
Know that? Look, if you would, in verse number 18, verse chapter 1. He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. In other words, we know our salvation is not of works. It's through the grace of God. Look in verse number 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. We know that Jesus, and without his precious blood, we would be nothing. We could not have redemption. We could not have reconciliation. We could not have justification. We could not have nothing. Somebody said, how is it that we can be justified before God? Because of the precious blood of Jesus. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for us. We know that Christ was revealed, manifested. He was shown to us in these last days. He was sent and he was revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God didn't come to exalt himself. And let me tell you this. There are some religions that exalt the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did not come to be exalted. The Holy Ghost came to exalt Jesus. And he exalts Jesus because of what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary. Amen. And therefore what he does is he reveals Jesus to us, and he reveals to us their great need of having Jesus. Look, if you would, in verse 21. He says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. In other words, we know that our faith is in God alone. It's not in me. It's not in you. It's not in the preacher. It's not in the deacon. It's not in our mom and dad. Our faith is in Jesus. Listen, everybody in this church will fail each other at some given time. How many times do you ever tell somebody, I'll pray for you, and you forget to pray? Right. Ever do that? That ever happened? Then what you did was you failed somebody. I've done that too. But can I tell you, there's one that would never fail you. And thank God, our faith is not in each other. Our faith is in him. Amen. What are we? We are a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. We're all in this same thing, in the same boat together. And we are here because of him. That's why he's so precious. Amen. Look on, if you would, in verse number 22. He goes on, he says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. In other words, we know that we have been made pure. There's something changed in us. The love of God's been shed abroad in us. There's something different about us after we got saved. Somebody said you're not saved by feeling. That is absolutely true. But I don't know of a person around that's been saved that doesn't feel different. You ought to feel a little different after you get saved. If you can't feel different, then there's something wrong. Amen? Now, look, if you would, in verse 23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We know that salvation is anchored in what God has said. In other words, we trust him for our salvation in the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So our faith is in the word of God. We believe because the word of God. We are saved by the foolishness of preaching. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we heard it, and it is the power of God and salvation for all who believeth. Amen. Look in verse 24 and 25. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We know that the Bible is the only thing around that's dependable. It's the only thing on this earth that's dependable. I'm going to tell you something. You turn your TV on, or you get on your internet expecting to hear news, and you don't know what to believe and what not to believe. There's a lot of lies, a lot of propaganda, all kinds of stuff everywhere you turn. There's one place you can turn and find the truth. Amen. And that sits right in your lap. And that's the pages of the book that sits before you. So therefore, I want you to understand that he's precious to us because he is that stone that's come forth. He is that one that we can count on. And when no one else, and we can count on nobody else, my friend, we got the Lord. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. And even old rough fishermen, everything he got thinking about Jesus. He thought about the trials he'd gone through. He thought about his blood. He thought about him as a chief cornerstone. He thought of his faith. He thought of his promises. And all the vocabulary that Peter had, there's one word just kept coming back to him. Precious. Jesus is so precious.
Amen.
Man, that's why he's precious. He's precious to God, the Father. He's precious to the sinner. And my friend, he's precious to the saint. Where would we be with our Lord? Amen. He is so good. Sometimes we sing in chapel service, God is so good. Boy, Jesus, he's so good to us. Amen. Amen. Let's get a song. Sing out, Brother Porter, if you would.
Page 370.
Page 370.